I was at a wonderful wedding last night. It was amazing. Father Melanson did a great job. Father Ed did an incredible job. He didn't cry. Ed, he didn't cry. It's incredible. Miraculous. The wedding was miraculous. Because we had two people who came together, and by a miracle of God, were joined together by the Holy Spirit and became one flesh. And that is countercultural. They came together in the church. They did things the right way. And you know what? They were unique among their friends. Most of the people there that were their age were not married. They were unique. It was incredible to see these people leading the way, because they were doing things differently. It was incredible to see them standing apart and doing things differently. Now, I'm sorry to say that I don't know Amanda and Tim that well. Hopefully, over the next few years, we'll get to know them a lot better. But from what I know, and from what I've heard, their friends look at them and go, there's something different about them. And when the stuff hits the fan, it's them that they go to. Why? Because they're different. I read an article recently that was just absolutely crazy. It's the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world says, this is an article from an online journal called the Huffington Post. Very, very popular online journal. Millions of people read it all the time. And it is 23 things to do before you're 23 instead of getting engaged. And this young woman decided that she would rail against a handful of her friends who were getting engaged, and listed off all the things that you should rather do instead of these things, instead of getting engaged. And these were outlandish, atrocious, just bizarre. Things like, oh, get a passport. Fine. Go to the Philippines and celebrate the New Year. Okay, fine. Bake a cake. If you haven't baked a cake by the time you're 23, isn't there already a problem? Make out with a stranger. Date two people at once. See how long it takes to blow up in your face. Hang out in front of a window naked. I'm not making this up, folks. Disappoint your parents. You have to set that as a goal? This is the wisdom of the world. This is what the world thinks is wise. This is foolishness to God. This is ridiculousness to God. We look at this and go, this is insane. I used to have an old high school classmate that we had reconnected on Facebook, and I referred to him as my atheist friend. I say I used to, because he finally had enough and unfriended me. Note that I didn't unfriend him, he unfriended me. But I love the fact that he talked about how my religion was filled with hate and anger and venom. Yet in all of our discussions, in all of our conversations, in all of my trying to share the gospel with him, in all of my attempts to pray for him in occasions where he was going through some really rough stuff, I never lost my cool. I never started to cuss at him. I was never the one who lost my temper and became angry or enraged. And how's that worldview working for keeping your blood pressure down, buddy? The wisdom of this world is foolishness. We have to be different. We have to be perfect. Because they're looking for reasons to call us out. They're looking for reasons to say, you bunch of hypocrites. They're just looking for reasons to say, you're full of lies. We really do have to be just as good as we possibly can. Because their souls are on the line. I mean, ultimately, it's their decision. We can't make the decision for them. But we are held accountable for what we do. And God forbid, something that I have control over, something that is my fault, turn somebody away. God forbid that I have something that I say or do that leads somebody reasonably, not somebody who's just a hate monger who's looking for a reason, but somebody who's searching and really looks at it and goes, no, if that's what they're like, never mind. But there are people who are really looking and really looking to us. And from a few weeks ago, we are that light. And we have to be clear. And we have to be the city on a hill. We have to be the lighthouse in the storm. When there are rocks all around and the storm is raging and the people go, we're going to die. Where are we to go? They have to see us. They have to look around at everyone else they know and go, they're just as lost as I am. There's no help in them. That guy's different. Yeah, he's weird. Yeah, he's crazy. But he's different. And he can help. I don't know what it is. I don't have a word for it. But they need to think of us that way. And if you want to call it mature, if you want to call it perfect, if you want to call it holy, then that's what we need to be. Because we're not playing at a game of who can be good in church. We're not playing at a game of who can have the best seat in the house or who can have the right place and the right posture and hold their hands the right way when they're taking communion. This is about a world that's dying and facing judgment, and the stakes are eternal life or eternal damnation, and we have a commission to bring people to that judgment seat and get them onto the right side. And our behavior wins people far more than our words do. Because if our behavior doesn't line up with our words, then they don't care at all what our words are. So, does our behavior line up with the words of Christ? Because nobody really cares if our behavior doesn't line up with our words. If it doesn't line up with our words, they're like, yeah, whatever. They care if our behavior lines up with the words of Christ. They care if we come across as holy. And we can only do that if we are. You've been set aside to be holy. How do you live that way? Well, how do you live out perfection? The simple answer is, you can't. There's no way you can do it on your own. Thanks be to God, you don't have to. Because by the grace of God, he's given us his Holy Spirit. We don't have to do it on our own because he's given us his Holy Spirit. And thanks be to God, it's not me, but Christ who is in me, the hope of the resurrection. So thanks be to God, we have the Holy Spirit who can enable us to do all things. So every day when we get up, when we go to bed at night, we need to be mindful of the fact that we're not living our lives for ourselves. We're living our lives for the countless people who we come across who are desperately fighting a war that they know nothing about, the stakes of which are eternal. And they don't even know it. And we are warriors in that fight, and we must be perfect. And we can only do that through the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.